You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hey, it's Fitz, and if you don't know who I am, here's a quick bio. I'm a veteran sports journalist who writes, does TV, radio, daily YouTube videos, and I'm a longtime podcaster. Also, I have metastatic stage 4 prostate cancer that came out of remission in January. During the 2020 pandemic, my doctors advised me to stay at home, and the Life of Fitz podcast was born. 4 years later, I'm back in my cancer fight and continuing this podcast, calling the many friends, athletes, coaches, and colleagues who I have met throughout my 35 years in this industry. And now I'm adding in some new friends to my call list. And of course, I'm hitting the record button. Welcome to my life and the Life of Fitz podcast. Excuse me while I feel a little bit old today, because I met Josh Eilert when he was playing basketball at Kansas State, and I had already started my company, GoPowerCat.com. PowerCat Illustrated was the origin of the website, and I covered him when he played for Jim Wildridge. And, of course, one of the big things to happen to Kansas State athletics in the early 2000s was the hiring of Bob Huggins. It was a monumental moment. It literally changed the course of K-State basketball from the struggles of the Asbury and Wildridge era into what it is now. Bob Huggins was in Manhattan for 1 year and laid the foundation for everything that followed, for Frank Martin, for the players that got passed on to Bruce Weber and allowed him to build up what he did in 10 years and now Jerome Tang. But when Huggs left after 1 year, Josh Eilert, who was a graduate assistant coach for Kansas State at the time, went with Huggs. It was a smart move. He was done being a grad assistant at K-State. His time for that had expired, so he hopped in a moving van and moved to Morgantown, West Virginia. 16 years later, with the retirement of Bob Huggins and the controversy, Josh Eilert, the kid from Osborne, Kansas, who stayed loyal to Huggs through it all, is the interim head basketball coach at West Virginia. So deserved, and I haven't had an extended conversation with Josh in a very long time. So let's do it. Let's call Josh Eilert in Morgantown, West Virginia.
Hello.
Is this the head basketball coach at West Virginia University?
It appears to be.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you, Fitz?
How weird have the last few weeks been for you?
It's hard to explain. It really is. It's been a roller coaster of emotions. You go from thinking you're going to walk over the unemployment line to being the head ball coach of a Power 5 top 20, all-time school. So it's been great. It's one of those times in your life you really sit there and reflect and say, just do right by everything you do, by people, and things will work out.
Hey, man, I mean, you went with Huggs 16 years ago. It's weird. You've been there far longer than, associated with Kansas State. It's incredible how that works. But you stayed at his side, and I'm glad that the loyalty was paid off and the fact that you understand the program and the school and what it's all about down there. I'm really happy for you, man.
Yeah, thank you. I remember those days, 16 years ago when my wife and I jumped in a 29-foot U-Haul and put the dog, in the passenger seat, and he was sitting shotgun and my wife was following in the car, and we just, headed across country with the leap of faith that things are going to work out, and we're going to go outside of our comfort zone and try something new. And it's been amazing for our family. I mean, as soon as we got here, we got pregnant with our first, and I remember looking back at the pictures, and we were in the Sweet 16 that first year and out in Arizona, and my wife was pregnant and had her first child in April of 2008. So now he's a sophomore in high school. That's crazy. That tells you how long we've been here, and how I tell him all the time, you know, how special it is to be in this community and ingrained in this state. And they know nothing more. You know, we obviously have our Kansas roots and both Kansas State graduates, but they know nothing more than West Virginia. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, tell me about the kids, since you got busy with that after you departed K-State.
Yeah, 15, 12, and 5. I thought we were just going to have two. And, you know, happy wife, happy life. You know, you go back and forth, and eventually you just give in. I think it took me too long to give in. But my youngest, my late father, Jim Eiler, my youngest was born on the day he passed away.
Oh, wow.
So he had a 5-week battle with colon and liver cancer that got way too advanced before they ever caught it. But, you know, I thought a lot about my dad throughout that whole process, you know, because, you know, the whole roller coaster of emotions, it took me back to that day where I had to figure out my wife was going to labor and my dad was on his deathbed, and I had to figure out whether I jump in a car and try to get back there as fast as possible and be with him, or do I, you know, sit here by my wife's side and deliver our third child. So I made the right decision, tried to get on the phone with my dad and get in his ear, whether he could hear me or not. And I stayed by my wife's side. And had I jumped in the car, I came up 2 hours short and I'd have missed both. So,
yep. And I never met your dad, but I bet you that he would want you to make the choice you made.
Oh, 100% he would. And that's the type of person he was. So he's a big, big, big time influence on myself and the way I treat people and have the integrity that I have and the way I go about my business. And so, you know, going back to the week that we had last week, I look back to that day that I was losing my dad and gaining a son on the same day, and how that roller coaster of emotions, it was kind of similar. So you didn't know which way life was going to take you and what was going on. You just kind of had to keep a level head and keep things in perspective.
You do. I mean, when you have tough times, you learn some perspective that a lot of times you thought were tough or nothing. And when you face them again, they're nothing. And, but I'm going to say something strange to you. If your dad had to have advanced cancer, that's a good way to go. I mean, you find out it's harsh, but the emotions of the unknown are just eat at you. The constant every day can chew away at you. And yeah, I mean, that's why I'm trying to encourage men to get in there and get early testing so that they don't even have to mess with it. But boy, it's tough. So,
yeah.
Well, I really don't want to talk about hugs too much, but boy, I love that man. I was only around him for a year. I think he is so greatly misunderstood. I knew he was misunderstood. Well, you probably recall when Hugs was hired, everyone was like, Hugs, why are you hiring that guy? He's a bad dude. Then we all met him and like, oh, he's pretty freaking awesome. A loving, caring man with obvious flaws, but you obviously love him too. You stayed with him for 16 years, 17 years if you count Kansas State.
Yeah, he's a loyal man. As you can see, you look back at our staff, and I just got off the radio interview, and I was talking about, you know, my patience in the whole process. And Hugs believed in me 100% and wanted me to advance. But we had such a core group of guys, and our staff was so locked in with each other and so loyal to Hugs that they weren't going anywhere. And so that kind of hindered my development. But you know, if you're with good people, embrace it. You know, it's not always greener on the other side. And there probably could have been opportunities I could have jumped on. And it, you know, who knows where that would have led. But here I am, a head coach of West Virginia Mountaineers. And and have a hell of an opportunity to parlay it into something even greater. You know, I'm basically on a 1-year contract, but I don't look at it that way.
Oh.
I'm here to accept the challenge, and I have every bit of confidence in myself. And so I got a great staff around me. We're going to build a nice roster, and we're going to go compete night in, night out.
And he left you a pretty good roster. I mean, that's
he had
some dudes.
There was certainly a week to where everybody was, you know, on thin ice, and they didn't have much of a solid footing, and so they got. I did my best to keep their head on straight, but you know, with the uncertainty and young 18 to 21 or 23 year olds, you know, so they felt uneasy about the situation. So we had some guys hit the portal, and. You know, that's this day and age. So there are a lot of coaches reaching out and kind of poaching our guys before they even, you know, as soon as the incident happened 10 days ago or whatever it may be, there was coaches just all over our guys. And it was such a shame to see that. And, none of them even hit the portal at that point. So they were getting courted behind the scenes by each, you know, schools just trying to fill a need, and here I am trying to do everything I can just to keep them together and keep their head on straight.
It's turned into the Wild West, hasn't it? It just, absolutely. I mean, we've gone from the NCAA not enforcing the rules well enough to the NCAA just saying, have at it. We didn't want any of this, so we don't want to participate in it, and it's just a shame.
It's the world we live in, so you just got to, you know, take it with a grain of salt and, you know, don't always agree with everything they do, but you got to play by the rules and go about your business.
The irony is, of course, as I talk to you, I think there's two dudes here in Manhattan right now. So,
it's kind of
weird.
Two of our dudes.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's as an alumni, that it hurts that they're in Manhattan, Kansas, but, I guess that's part of the game.
Yep. Yep. Well, tell me about, you know, you drive out there, you get to Morgantown, and there had to be culture shock. I mean, you're from Osborne, Kansas. We think the Flint Hills are scenic, and then you're in the, you know, the Eastern Mountains of the United States and literally a different culture. I mean, they're wonderful people. I love going to Morgantown in West Virginia. It's one of my favorite stops, but it is different. It certainly is.
Yeah, there was culture shock. I remember, like, my wife getting lost and calling me crying. And this is before everybody had GPS really on their phone. And you ask for directions. And everybody that we talked to growing up, like, you know, go 2 miles east and a mile north. There ain't no such thing as east, west, and north, south around here. They talk about the landmarks and going around a holler and down by this, you know, this monument and that monument and around the river. And like, does anybody even know where north, south, east, and west is? Because it's just, everything's built around the terrain. So that was called certainly a culture shock. And shoot, I've been here 16 years. I'll turn down a turn that I've never been before and discover something I didn't really know existed here. So,
yeah, it's beautiful out there. My father-in-law is from West Virginia, and he talks about literally growing up, you know, around the holla. And I'm like, okay,
yeah.
You know, it's that's that didn't happen in Kansas. We don't have those, but that's all right.
You know, shoot, where I grew up in Western Kansas, you know, it's so flat you could watch your dog run away for 2 days.
That's the truth, man. What was it like growing up in Osborne, Kansas?
Small town life. I mean, I tell everybody at that point, I think the closest Walmart was 60 miles. You can't hardly, I mean, anywhere you go anymore, you're 9-iron away from a Walmart. And that's how isolated we were out there.
Yep.
There wasn't a whole lot going on, but it was a great life. I didn't know anything better. And, you know, small town living in an agricultural community, and everybody kind of had some part, form or fashion, or had a part in, you know, either getting a wheat crop in or, you know, that's where everybody's lifestyle revolved around out in the, you know, north central Kansas. So, you know, you ever played Legion baseball, and a lot of times during this time of year, you couldn't field the team because, you know, somebody had to help with harvest.
Yep. Yeah, it's so true. It is absolutely true. And you had to work to get into trouble. You really had to try. Because even if you did get into trouble enough, the town was looking out for you that they'd They'd probably put you back on the straight and narrow without your parents participating.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knew everybody's name, and everybody knew the channels, but, you know, take care of one another at the end of the day. So it was a nice, I don't say bubble, but it was kind of a bubble to grow up in. You didn't have all the outside influences that you have in some of these bigger communities.
Then what led you to Cloud County? Why'd you pick Cloud?
I knew, I was obviously a qualifier coming out. I mean, I had some Division II offers, but I always wanted to play Division I basketball. And that was my goal and my vision and what I wanted. And so my thought process was, let me go junior college. You know, junior college in Kansas, it's a great league there in Kansas, and it's a very competitive league. And junior college has kind of, you know, fell off since then. But back then it was competitive. We had five guys that were starting five, all went in Division I out of Cloud County. And so we were middle of the pack of the league. So I thought it was an opportunity where I could, you know, showcase myself for 2 years and then maybe parlay it back into a Division I spot. And that was my thought process. I didn't necessarily have to go junior college, but I thought it'd be a nice stepping stone, and it was right down the road. And at that point in my life, I was, you know, I wanted to be close to home. I was 60 miles down the road, and you know, you got young love going on. So those things always are part of young man's decision-making. So I decided to do that, and I had a great experience. I mean, Coach Kevin Muff was my type of guy. He was a family man. He had great values, and I gravitated towards him. And I still think about his influence on me over my years of developing as a coach and a man. And so it's one of those guys that really helped me through the process.
I'm too old to remember, but I moved to Salina, Kansas at age 4. And Kevin Muff might have been the first guy I met, like my age, because we literally grew up, spent every grade together. And then, of course, he went to Cloud and ended up at K-State. So we spent a lot of time together, and I just saw him, as you know, I mentioned in my daily delivery video. I just saw him over in Salina. It was good to see him. He's still a massive human being. He still looks like he could play. I don't know how.
I don't doubt it.
I mean, he's in shape, but he's back in Concordia and loving it.
Probably just has a few more gray hairs like us all.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Then you go to K-State, play for Jim Wooldridge, and boy, you talk about men that I love. I think the world of Jim. He didn't win enough at K-State, but quality guy.
Yeah, he's a quality human being and a good coach. I think the biggest problem is just trying to get the talent level to compete. And it was a hard decade, you know, maybe right. Even 10, 12 years there in Manhattan to try to get the talent to compete. And things have come a long ways there. And it really was neat to be part of the transition between Wooldridge and Hugs and see how quickly it could be revitalized. And no discredit to Ward and what he did. He gave everything he had for that program, but you got the massive personality and Hugs come in, and we were immediately recruiting Bill Walker and Michael Beasley and Jacob Poland. And I remember, you look back at as me as a GA, we had such a big recruiting weekend. All the assistants had these high profile guys that they're taking care of. And I was taking my responsibility for that recruiting weekend was to take care of Jerome Poland and Jacob Poland and their family and their big family. I was toting them around. So I'm thinking to myself, I was the GA. I was taking no idea at the time, taking around the all-time leading scorer in K-State history.
You're crazy.
So that's how big a recruiting weekend that was and how quickly things can turn in your favor if you just get the right guys. It's obviously, coaches know it's all about the Jimmys and Joes, not the X's and O's.
Yep. What a remarkable staff that was. I mean, you got Frank, of course, and Brad Underwood, who followed a similar course as you guys. He played junior college basketball and then came to K-State, and he's my age. I've known him most of my life. But
another Kansas guy.
Oh, absolutely. And I tell you, that group of kids, you mentioned the amount of talent at the JUCO level, but that my senior year, I certainly wasn't part of this, but the group of high school kids coming out all at once, it was James Knight who went to Kansas, and you know, just a number of guys around the state of Kansas that were Division I level. It was a cool time. When you first met Hugs and you first met Frank Martin, what goes through your brain?
Well, I remember Hugs walking back. I had a little makeshift office there in the back, and I was back there beside the copy machine and in the storage closet. So I had this little desk back there. And I remember a big old burly man, you know, he's very intimidating the first time you see him.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd shake his hand, and big old thick hands. So he looked me in the eye and came back. And I mean, he was busy the first time he met him, but when he finally got settled in and he needed some help, and I was doing the long hours as a GA, not wanting to leave, to figure out how I can help in any way. And shoot, I didn't even know if I was going to have a job. So I didn't know if he's bringing his own people, but he came in, he'd been there a couple of days, and big old bag of laundry. And I joke about it all the time, his dirty underwear and everything else right there in his bag. And he put it right on my desk, and he said, he was living at the hotel at the time. He's like, I don't even know what to do this. Do you mind finding a way to do my laundry? It's like, absolutely, whatever you need. So I felt like that was my first part of the interview, I guess. If I was willing to wash and dry his dirty underwear, I thought. He said, well, he must be worthy of keeping around if he'll go stoop to that level. So I said, absolutely. Well, I haven't done in a couple hours. So I went downstairs. I knew where everything was and just got it done. He was very grateful. And I always laugh. He remembers looking. I was just newly married at the time. He looked at a picture of my wife, and it kind of was a conversation piece. And he's like, what are you doing? How is that possible? That can't be your wife. I said, it is my wife. He's like, how in the hell is that your wife? If you can pull a good looking girl like that, I should put you on the road recruiting right now.
I was going to say, so, that means you can recruit.
He loved that story. He wore me out on that one over the years. So he said that's the only reason he kept me around, because I was, he saw potential in the fact that I could, you know, recruit a good looking girl like that. So a product of Riley, Kansas.
My two favorite hug stories from the time he was here was that first summer. We all go to Country Stampede. My wife and I loved it back in the day. We'd get VIP tickets.
I think I was there at the same Country Stampede. Yeah. I never had VIP tickets until Hugs got there. And then everybody wanted to give him the VIP tickets, and I benefited from
it. Yep. And I remember we all ended up afterwards at So Long Saloon, Brad and Hugs and our wives, and by then we had no business probably continuing the festivities, but we did. And at the end of the night, when they finally got ready to go home, he gave me this huge hug. I just met the man. And I'm a big guy, I think. And he just dwarfed me. You know, we're sat at the corner of the bar, and he goes, good to meet you, Fitz. You know, just the whole thing. My other story is when you guys played Xavier, and everyone is staying down across the river in Kentucky. We come back from the bars, some of the reporters, and we head back to the hotel, and there's a circle in the middle of the lobby of chairs, and not a small circle, a very large circle, and a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue is being passed about so we can all try it, because that's Hugs' thing. And that was the one and only time I've ever had Johnny Walker Blue. That crap was awful. And I'm a bourbon guy. I'm not much of a scotch guy, but that was drinking gasoline.
Yeah, I'm more of a collector than a drinker. But there's a lot of bourbon in this area near the Kentucky, West Virginia area, so it's unique how many different distilleries there are out here. So I get a lot of gifts. I just kind of collect it.
Nice. It looks good on a shelf.
Yeah, it does.
Hey, it's Fitz. Let's hit the pause button right here and take a little break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is your favorite thing about West Virginia? I mean, obviously, you stayed because of basketball and the group of guys you got, but you wouldn't stay if you hated it there. I know that.
No, it's the people. I mean, I really compare the people of West Virginia and Kansas. I mean, they're different, but they're truly the same in so many ways. They're down home people. They don't have a lot, but you know they appreciate what they do have. And they are avid Mountaineer fans all throughout this state. You know, you got Wichita State, you got Kansas State, you got KU. So it's all over the place in Kansas, and it's a little divided. And you got the Chiefs, and you got the Royals. And we got West Virginia. We are the pro team here. We are the big dog. We got Marshall on the south part of the state, but they're in a totally different category than us. And everybody gravitates towards the flying WV, and they look at you and they put you on a pedestal, and they treat you the right way. And they live and die of West Virginia men's basketball, football. And so the support here is unrivaled. And, you know, we've had some couple tough years, the year before last, but they just kept on showing up. They have your back, and they continue to just show up and support you night in, night out.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I remember when they came into the conference, Big East folks were trying to tell us, oh, they're awful fans. They're mean. They're nasty. It's just a horrible place. And then I go cover a football game, and I'm just walking to the press box through some parking lots, and I'm getting offered moonshine. I'm getting offered, you know, all kinds of food, and people are just so kind and nice, and they're so excited. And I thought, well, that was a good experience for me. I wonder what other people are having. And I heard that story over and over, that no matter where they went, they were offered something and welcomed into tailgates. And I'm like, that's K-State. That is exactly like K-State, yeah. Minus the moonshine. But I've enjoyed it every time I've gone. And granted, now we kind of stay up in Pittsburgh because of hotel space, but it's a beautiful area of the country. And I remember one trip my wife went on, and she made a stop and go to some overlook. And I'm like, honey, we're working. We're trying to get to a press box. And we stopped at the overlook, and I'm like, okay, this is pretty awesome. This is pretty amazing.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful state. You probably went up to Cooper's Rock, which is probably 5 minutes outside of town. And it kind of overlooks the Cheat River and Cheat Lake. And it's a beautiful area, especially in the fall. It's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous here. And the leaves start changing colors, and, you know, the air starts getting a little crisp. And it's a great place to be.
So you literally paid your dues plus more. I mean, you always wanted a coach, but you go as the video coordinator, which is a common stop along the coaching career arc. And then you become the director of basketball ops. And honestly, you kind of got into that role. I assume you were really good at it because he never took you out of it. But even in that role, you had to be learning exponentially about the game of basketball with that coaching staff and that head coach.
Yeah, I didn't stop. Position I had, I took full, to my benefit, I took full benefit of every single stop and tried to learn and grow as a human and as a coach, and even on the administrative side. And so whether it be scheduling or communication and whatever it may be, and running camps, I mean, I just embraced whatever job I had at the given time and gave everything I had to any given job I was given. And I knew if I had patience, things would work out. I have the faith in that regard. So I took every opportunity and ran with it. And I think the biggest year that really kind of turned me was Coach Everhart in 2017, early in that season, the 16-17 year. He needed to have back surgery, and he was really struggling with his back. And Coach Huggins took him off the road so he could get that all worked out and have surgery. And that entire year I was on the road recruiting and on the floor scouting and coaching, and they just threw me in the mix. You know, you think you're prepared, you just go after it. And so I was immediately on the road, and I was following Oscar Tshiebwe, you know, everywhere he went, making sure we, you know, we were in on Oscar, and ended up working out, and we got him. But that was fun and a new experience, and got to be on the floor and coaching my butt off, and you know, doing the scouting thing. And so I got a real taste of it that year, and then, you know, we went to the Sweet 16 and had a great, you know, it was the Press Virginia days. So we made Adrian and Javon Carter and Dexter Miles and crew. So it was a fun year. And then I kind of had to step back out of it once, you know, we got healthy. But it was a great year of experience. And then I got my first taste, and I knew, it was like, I'm ready. I'm ready for this full-time gig. Now, it took a couple more years to get there and end up back into an assistant AD for basketball operations. And then it happened a year ago in July. Now, Coach Eric Martin took the South Carolina job at the end of July, and Hugs always said, you know, you're poised to make this move. I just need somebody to take another job or move on, and it happened. And 1 year as a full-time assistant, and here I am, interim head coach for the Mountaineers.
Yeah, it's amazing. What I got to ask is, what did you think the first time you saw Tshiebwe?
First thing I thought was like, there's no way he's the age. He looked like a grown man among little kids. I mean, he was just jumping over people, and his body was so developed at that stage of the game. And honestly, the way he looks now is not much different than the way he looked in high school. I mean, it was just in a different category. And when you see these guys that, you know, you just know immediately, they've got the it factor. They're different than everybody out there, and you know that they're going to be special.
He was. He is. It's. I love watching him play. But Press Virginia, that was an interesting era. How did that evolve into that? And now, of course, you know, in the last few years, it hasn't really been that style of basketball. But take me through that.
Coach Huggins. I don't know if he'd take credit for it. I mean, he. Well, he will, but his players, he's very good at just finding guys that just compete at a different level. And when he recruits them, he's like, what can I do with them? And he pressed at Cincinnati. We, up to that point, we never pressed here. And so the guys that he had, just Tariq Phillip and Javon Carter, he saw something different in them. And then you get active guys like Nate Adrian, really move their feet and just go and have high motors. And if you got that type of personnel from top to bottom, it just makes so much sense. And shoot, we did it for 3-4 years, and then we recruited kind of the best we could get, but they didn't have the foot speed that some of these guys had, and they didn't have the motor that some of these guys had. And we didn't have a guy that you know, was behind it all, you know, guarding the rim and protecting the rim like Sagabal Kanate was. So there's a lot of pieces that go into it, not just the guys in the front court or the back court, you know, wreaking havoc. You got to have somebody back there protecting the rim. So, you know, you get too far off on your roster, then you just got to make adjustments. And we just didn't find, you know, it was very successful for several years, but on the recruiting trail, we weren't finding the type of guys to continue it. And so it just kind of slowly evolved away from it.
That's what I love about Hugs. He's going to do what he needs to do. And, you know, it's not my way or the highway. It's like, let's see what we can do with this. And he did a great job in his 1 year at K-State, turning the ship in the right direction. Should have been in the NCAA tournament and didn't get in the field. But
West Virginia and K-State, we were both in the last four out that year when we didn't make it at Kansas State. West Virginia was in the same boat. They just barely missed out on the tournament, but they ended up going to the NIT and winning the NIT championship that year.
Yep. That was so disappointing. I mean, K-State was the 4 seed in the Big 12 tournament and beat Tech, and then Tech gets in. So
yeah, we beat them bad too. Yep. I think it came down to the North just wasn't nearly as strong as the South in terms of the schedule and the way it was broke down then. And, and you had to, he played all the North teams twice, and we had Nebraska twice and Colorado twice and Missouri twice. And so, I mean, the South just had a better strength of schedule, so they got more respect that year. So it is what it is. Tech got in, we didn't. It's history now.
It's all a conspiracy, Josh. It was all a anti-K-State conspiracy. I'm sticking with it.
That could have been. That very well could have been.
So what's next on your plate, your to-do list? You probably got – first of all, I should have said this up front. Thank you for taking the time to do this because I know you were very busy. But what is up for you next?
Well, waiting for my guys to get back from Manhattan, Kansas.
You know, what's funny about this, when this actually releases, everyone will know. I mean, where this is coming out July 5th, so everyone will know. So this is kind of a...
So hopefully they got worn out on their visits and they want to come back and be a part of what we got going on. But we're also looking at other options to figure out if that doesn't happen, can we get somebody else on campus quickly? And so we got to have contingency plans too. So we're just scouring what's available, which is hard this time of year. But and then, it's also going to come with a recruiting challenge. It's like, we're basically on a 1-year contract. So it's hard to get anybody with the multiple years left to buy in at this point. But that's going to be a challenge we're going to have to deal with. But we'll get there. We're just going to keep grinding it out every day until we can get the roster complete. And then, we're headed to Italy, the first 10 days of August. So we got some extra practices this summer, and that's going to be a great test for us to kind of have some dry runs to get things in order and figure out, the with the new staff and my leadership, how it's all going to work. And before we have to get into the games that, count in November.
The transfer portal is such an interesting thing. Cause I think players should have the ability to leave, particularly when a coach leaves, but also it puts staffs like you in such an unfair situation where you might lose everyone. You're not going to, you saved most of them, but it's just such a perilous thing. And, it's good for the kids, but it's just the overall ramifications of how it works out just make me uneasy. I'm just not comfortable with that and the NIL.
Yeah, for a coach with 1 year and trying to prove himself and having them all have a free 30 days to explore options, that's not very conducive to what I'm trying to do. But it's all a leverage play and so many situations. There's an NIL piece, so they're going to go see what their value is with everybody else. But they also got to determine if they're a fit, whether, another coach is telling them complete truth and whether they're a legit piece to the roster or they a backup. In a lot of cases, most of these rosters are pretty much solidified and they're just looking for maybe one, at most two pieces. And so, here there's certainly a priority because we're down to eight nine guys, and we're looking to fill those positions. So
it's something
we're trying to navigate. There's no playbook for this, and there's not a lot of case studies for this situation, and so I'm the man tabbed with trying to get the ship to calmer waters, and that's what I'm going to try to do.
Were you I know you were involved for the job from the very start, but were you a little surprised that they kind of came to the quick conclusion that you were the guy and trying to hire right now wasn't the right thing? Let's just stay the course.
Well, you say quick, but
it felt like it forever.
Long 7 days. It was a long 7 days for everybody on our staff. Nobody had contracts in place. Everybody had 8 days left on their contract. Every player was being courted by everybody else, in the country. And so it was a long 7 days. But in the grand scheme of things, national searches usually take on average 3 weeks. And Ren got it done in 7 days. And he was so great through the process. He brought me in right away on Saturday afternoon. Immediately came off the road recruiting. I was in Louisville, Kentucky, and I had made the 4.5-hour, 5-hour drive back as soon as it happened on Saturday morning. And you know, we met with the team, tried to calm them, met with the staff, and then I just got home and was trying to unpack my bags, still head still spinning. I get a call from him to come in and see him. So he was very, very good through this process. He said, "You're going to have every chance at this job, but I have to do a national search. So we're going to find out if you're the man through the whole process." So he had multiple meetings, and they put me through the ringer in terms of the interview process and the formal interviews. And one of the interviews was, you know, nearly 3 hours long. Mm. And, you know, four guys grilling me about this situation and that situation and how I'd handle them. So at the end of the day, he felt like I was the right man for the job. And I can't thank him enough. And I know he's got my back and wants to see this through and give me every bit of support I need to get the job done.
That's awesome. I mean, if you've got a good boss, then the comfort level goes through the roof. I mean, you got to know that someone's got your back, and that's an amazing process. But yeah, honestly, buddy, I think you earned the job. You weren't a fallback. You got the interim in there, but I think they realized this is the solution right here after talking to some other people.
Yep, I'm going to pour my heart into it. I'm going to give everything I got. I'll put together a young, vibrant staff to get after it every day. And we're just going to go to work every day and get better and take it one day at a time. You know, like Kleiman says, just you win today, right?
Yeah, exactly. You just got to go one day at a time. I see you stay in touch with K-State Athletics a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, how do I not? I mean, all my family's back there. You know, I see it in my timelines and social media all the time. I follow all the K-Staters. I mean, K-State's always going to be a part of me. It's part of my wife and my family. So it's, you know, it's a second home that I wish I'd get back to more often other than just business trips.
It's just a short drive down I-70. It's not,
yeah,
it's not that far. It's not that far.
I can get to Osborne, Kansas in 18 hours.
Oh, God. I had friends, first time K-State played at West Virginia football, that drove out there. And they go, "How do you get there?" And I go, "You go down I-70. About when you're out of America, you turn right."
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much what you do. It's not that complicated.
And you get out of Ohio, then you're in West Virginia for 10 minutes, and you're back in Pennsylvania, and then you go back into West Virginia, and you're like, what is going on here?
I had no idea that Morgantown was just like it's around the holla from Pennsylvania. That's what it is. It's just down
the road. We're 6 miles from the Pennsylvania border.
Yeah. I had no idea. It's crazy. It's crazy. But I take it Brandy likes it there.
Yeah. At first, like you said earlier, we had culture shock. And, you know, I immediately went to work. And, you know, I was, you know, locked in from day one. But, excuse me, she found it a little harder because she was kind of, you know, lonely and isolated. She didn't have anybody out here. I immediately had this new network of people that I was working with, you know, immediately from day one. So I'm working with 20 different people and getting to know people. And she was just kind of at home trying to figure out, you know, where we go from here. And so it was culture shock for her for a couple of weeks, but she settled in and she kind of found her groove. And, you know, we started a family and it's been a beautiful thing here for our family.
Indeed. Do the activities for children vary? We growing up in Kansas, you played sports. You didn't play football.
Yeah.
You didn't play basketball. You played sports. I mean, you mentioned Legion baseball. Is it like that in West Virginia, or what kind of opportunities do your kids have?
No, the same opportunities that we had growing up. I mean, probably more in that regard. There's a lot going on out here. We're close to a lot of, you know, metro communities. Right. So, but they're tied in. It's a very tight-knit community. It's all based around the university and similar to Manhattan in a lot of ways. So, no, there's opportunity after opportunity. I mean, if they want to get into something, they're going to get into something. So, no complaints in that regard.
I need to ask this. Your children aren't Steelers fans, are they?
No. To be honest with you, I told my son if the Chiefs won, I'd get him a Mahomes jersey, and got him a Mahomes jersey, and And when I was out at the Big 12, I met Rick Burkholder. He's the athletic trainer at the Kansas City Chiefs, and we got to know each other real well there at in Kansas City, and he has connections to West Virginia. And I told him, I was like, this jersey's going to come in May, and I'm going to, you know, surprise him with it. And he said, well, send that thing to me. I'll get Mahomes to sign it.
And
he did. And I got it signed and framed and just gave it to him. Now we are hardcore Kansas City Chiefs fans. And we even go back even further when the Royals were in New York, we got a chance to, you know, go see the Royals clinch game six, or the game five or game six, the World Series back in New York. But regardless, we were there to see him clinch in 2015. So, you know, we also got to see the ALCS in Baltimore that year. So we got some good connections out here, and they hooked us up with tickets. And so we're locked in with the Royals and Chiefs. Obviously, the Chiefs are the hot topic now. And now that's still ingrained in us. I mean, everybody down the hallway has got a different NFL team. It's not all the Steelers, but the locals are hardcore Steelers fans.
You could probably have the Royals if you want them. I mean, I don't think they're going to build them a stadium in downtown Kansas City, so they might end up in Nashville, so they'll be closer.
All right.
So, well, Josh, it's been great talking to you. I know you got a lot on your plate. I told you I wouldn't keep you long. So, brother, man, this is awesome. You know, I've been doing this so long, I've covered guys now that are head coaches, and it trips me out. You know, it's amazing to think about the progression of the young people I started off covering when I was doing PowerCat Illustrated and just starting GoPowerCat.com to now. Your career has literally spanned my career of this business, and to see this is, I'm just so happy, man.
Yeah, thank you, Fitz. And I like to tell people, and the only way I can explain it is life comes at you fast when you're prepared for the opportunity.
Right.
And I keep on coming back to that that phrase that I heard, and that's very much the case in my situation. Not exactly the way in which I thought I'd become a head coach. There's no sunshine and rainbows around it, but well, I got on the head coach, and I'm going to take full advantage of it.
And if I know Bob Huggins, he's damn happy for you.
He is, and he's at peace. He's glad that, you know, based on his decisions, and very remorseful, but he is at peace. Last time I talked to him, I think he's doing a lot of fishing and enjoying himself. So the fact that all of his staff and players are, you know, in a good place and have some stability, and I'm going to be able to carry that torch, I think that gives him some peace.
Yeah, he's owned this. I mean, you know, that's what a man does. He owns his mistakes, and you see him, tell him I say hello. But appreciate it, brother. I appreciate it so much. Best of luck
this season.
And I'll make sure I come talk to you when you're in Manhattan.
Sure, absolutely. Look forward to it.
Yeah, Josh, good to talk to you.
All right, take care.
First of all, this was a short edition of The Life of Fitz, and I knew it would be because I was amazed that Josh would make time right now for anything else other than what he's trying to accomplish. And he's got a lot on his plate. I mean, he's trying to build a roster and then get that roster ready to go on tour for Italy and then come back and start school and get ready for a Big 12 season. It's just daunting. But I believe West Virginia did the exact thing it needed to do. When Huggs left Manhattan, Kansas, there was a lot of talk about who will K-State hire. They hired the guy that had been at his side for the longest, and that was Frank Martin. And it kept K-State basketball going. And I think the same will be true for West Virginia basketball under him now that Huggs is retired. I'm proud of what he's done, his patience, his diligence, and now he's a head coach in the Big 12. Guys, remember, don't get caught off guard by cancer when all you have to do is go see your doctor. Oh, and happy 4th of July, everyone. I'll talk to you real soon.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present a mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!